go into our Torah portion. And the Torah portion, Baha'alokhat, okay, go on. Baha'alokha, Numbers 8:1 through 12:16, and then the Haftor is Zechariah 2:14 through 4:7. I know you all have read it. There are some really good things in here. Continue reading your Torah portions each week. Come prepared, as you always do. Now, about midway through the Torah portion, God speaks about the silver trumpets. It's the introduction of the silver trumpets and what they're for. So let's jump right into some scripture here. Numbers 10, 1 and 2. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, make two trumpets of hammered silver for yourself. They are for summoning the community and having the camp set out. Now, a little bit down further, in Numbers 10, 8, about six verses down, says, the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Now, when the scripture says there'll be an ordinance forever throughout your generations, I believe God means forever throughout all the generations. So that means still, now, today, is part of forever. Forever hasn't ended. So it's still forever now. So I look to see, he made an ordinance forever about blowing trumpets, about making the sounds out of the trumpets. Is it still being kept today? And you know, there are some things where when he says it's an ordinance, it has to do with the sanctuary, and it can't be done because we don't have the sanctuary anymore. But here, I look to see, do we carry out this ordinance? It doesn't have to do with the sanctuary. There's got to be a way that we're blowing trumpets still. Now, know this. There used to be trumpets and shofar. Silver trumpets and shofar. And they really had different functions. But over the years, the rabbis have merged them. So when we say trumpet and when we say shofar, we're really meaning the same thing. And then, you know, there were differences in the past. And for now, though, it's okay. So I'll go back and forth between trumpets and shofars. Shofars are nice because it sounds more Jewish. So I like shofars. But I'll use trumpet a lot, too. So, we're called to make these silver trumpets and use them. And they were called for a very special purpose. So we have to look into the scripture and see why they were used. So we look and the first thing I notice looking into scripture is it likens the trumpet to God's voice, or probably backwards. It likens God's voice to a trumpet. And John uses that same analogy in Revelation a couple of times. So let's take a look at a couple of them. Revelation 1:9-10. And it says, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patient endurance that are in Yeshua, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Yeshua. So he was exiled out and imprisoned on this island. I was in the Ruach on the day of the Lord, and I heard behind me a loud voice like that of a trumpet. Could you imagine this? He's there, he's praying, he's meditating. And a loud voice like a trumpet. He hears it. It's impossible to ignore. It's this trumpet sounding. And then we see in chapter 4, of Revelation. After these things I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking with me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. A loud voice like a trumpet. It's a call for attention. It's a call that could not be ignored. It was loud. It caused them to focus on what was being said. Could you imagine if I picked up my shofar here? Everyone looks to see what's going on. God's voice was the same way. He spoke. It sounded like a trumpet. It could not be ignored. It was a call to something important. So we know now that when things are sounded like a trumpet or a trumpet was used, it had some importance behind it. And when I looked into Scripture, I saw at least 8 uses for the shofar or the trumpet. So let's take a look through these 8 uses of the trumpet. The first was found in Numbers 10:3, part of the parsha. Boom. That was not a trumpet sound, but it was loud, and it did cause me to look. Okay, to assemble in Numbers 10:3 and 4, it says, whenever both are sounded, both trumpets, the whole community is to gather towards you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if only one is sounded, the princes, the head of the tribes of Israel, are to gather towards you. It was a call to assemble. If you hear both of them, everybody, come on up. If you only hear one, leaders, come to me. So it was a call to assemble. It was loud. It was maybe ear-piercing, especially if you were close. And it was that call to come together. Now, I see in the New Covenant a similar call. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. Because here, the trumpet is called again for an assembly, but a very different kind of assembly. 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last shofar. And the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. It's another calling for an assembly. It's the calling that we're all looking forward to as believers. Because it's that time that we will be again with Messiah as King. And he will be sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Lord God Almighty. And we will be in his presence forever. Second, it's a command to march. It's a command not only to march and move. It was not a chaotic march. It was a command to follow him. Numbers 10:5 and 6. When you sound the trumpet the first time, the camp of those camped on the east side is to set out. When you sound the trumpet blast for the second time, the camp of those who camped on the south side is to set out. Short blasts will be the signal for their moving out. It was a call for an orderly movement. It was not this willy-nilly, let's just break camp and go whenever we want. There was no chaos. It was a call for an orderly movement in march. That's what we're called to do. Move in the Lord, not in our own willy-nilly way, but in a very orderly way. Third, it's a call to praise him. Psalm 150:3 and 4 tells us about praising him. And we can all sing this. Praise him with the blast of the shofar. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and flutes. You know, depending on the version you read, it just, I don't know. A lot of the Psalms I read, the music just floods. And it's meant to be, because music helps you to remember. And that's what it's meant to be. Well, here, Psalm 150 tells us, praise him with the blast of the shofar, with that trumpet blast. It not only told us things, it was to praise him. It was actually a reminder to praise him, so that we would. There are just so many ways of praising him. When we see the dancing in the front, that's a way of praising him. Lift our hands in the sanctuary, that's a way of praising him. With our voice in song, that's a way of praising him. With the shofar blast, that was a way of praising him. Number four, we're almost halfway through. The trumpet was to be blown during sacrifices. Numbers 10:10. Also, at your days of rejoicing, feasts, and new moons, you are to blow on the trumpets over your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. They then will be a reminder for you before Adonai your God. I am Adonai your God. The sacrifices are being burnt. You blow a shofar over it. It reminds us who he is and who we are in him. It is a time to know, a time to be reminded who we are, but more importantly, who he is. It wasn't just the offerings rising up as a sweet incense. It was layers over layers over layers of things going on. You know, they say the burnt offering, you think immediately it's the animal being burnt. But for every animal being burnt, there was a oil and there was a grain offering. And then now we learn that there are trumpets being blasted. Layer over layers of things going on. Each one of them pointing to Adonai and Messiah. Each one of them reminding us who he is. Fifth, holidays. Joyous holidays. We blast the shofar. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the year of Jubilee. It was called to blast the shofar. Leviticus 25:8-9. You're to count off seven Shabbat of the years, seven times 7 years, so that the time is seven Shabbat of years, 49 years. Then, on the 10th day of the 7th month, on Yom Kippur, you are to sound the shofar. And we did this year. We sounded the shofar. It was a blast of joy. It was a blast of festive times. It's a blast to remind us to be festive before God, because it's so easy just to get down and say, you know, we're doing all this stuff. It's a lot of work. It's not work. It's a festive time. It's a time to rejoice in doing all of it for him. The shofar was being blown at one time for an alarm to war. Jeremiah 4:19. My soul, my soul, I am in anguish. Oh, my heart is pounding in me. I cannot be silent because you have heard, oh, my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. It calls us to go forth. It calls us to do battle, but not just on our own power. It calls us to war, to be in his army. Not to do it on our own, but to be part of his army, because that's where the victory is. Never on our own. And it's not just to go to war, but sometimes it's how to do the battle. Judges 7, 19 through 21, Gideon used the shofars as part of the battle. Let's take a look. So Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came up to the outermost part of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just posted the watch. And they blew the shofarot, the multiple shofars, and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three columns blew the shofarot, and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hand and the shofarot in their right hands to blow. And they shouted, "A sword for Adonai and for Gideon." Each one stood in his place around the camp. And then the entire army ran, shouted as they fled. The entire army of their enemies, the entire army who outnumbered them because they were only 300 men. The entire army who was going to annihilate them, the entire army who was so confident that they had the battle in hand, 300 men sounded their shofarot, sounded their shofars, their trumpets, and then the entire army ran, shouting as they fled. In fact, just a couple of verses later, it says they were even killing each other. God's army did not have to go and do the battle. The Lord was doing the battle for them. The Lord had the victory for them. This was one of those times they could just stand still and the Lord would have the victory. I have had times when I've been able to stand still and the Lord has had the victory. I've prayed and things have happened. There are times that I've prayed and I've had to join the army, get up, and do something about it. But the Lord has had the victory. In both ways, the Lord gets the victory. Number seven, the seventh way. It's a reminder to God and to us who we are in times of trouble. And you know, sometimes we just need that reminder. Numbers 10:9. Whenever you go to war in your own land against the enemy who is hostile to you, you are to sound short blasts of alarm. Then you will be remembered before Adonai your God and will be delivered from your enemies. Those short blasts. Now, does God really need to be reminded? God remembers Israel. He remembers us. He remembers us to the last hair on our head. But we need to remember that God remembers us. Again, it's a reminder. It doesn't force God to do anything. God's going to do what God's going to do. But it's a way of reminding us who He is and what He can do. And it's a way for us to ask God to move for us. It's just another way of prayer. And our final one, our eighth one, is it's a warning. Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. We had already said that God's voice was like a trumpet. Now it's a call for us to be God's voice like a trumpet, so that all the world can hear His word, so that the world can find their salvation. It's our calling. It's easy to come and sit and be comfortable on Shabbat, but our call is to reach out. For some, as someone was saying to me earlier today, they take the book. I have a friend who's Jewish, do you? And they plant it in places. They give it to people. They buy copies of their own, and they give it out. That's their way of being the trumpet. There are many ways of being the trumpet. We are God's modern day trumpets. And we're being used as the warning. It's not warning us, it's warning the world. It's not warning them with condemnation when you see their sin. We're called to love them, not their sin. We're called to love them. Because are you really going to win someone over with condemnation? It's just not going to work. So now, before we can be used to sound the alarm for God, to the lost world, we need to be worked, just like the trumpets. In today's portion, we're told the silver of the trumpet had to be refined first, so that when they were called, what do I have written here? So that we must be when we are called. Oh, okay. I know I wrote it. The silver of the trumpet had to be refined first, and so must we when we're called to be the trumpets to the world. Silver and symbolic of righteousness. Psalm 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little value. The tongue of the righteous is the trumpet. It is of choice silver. Silver also is to show truthfulness of God's word. Psalm 12:6 in the Hebrew 7, I think in your Bibles, if you're not using Hebrew scriptures. The words of Adonai are pure words, like silver refined in an earthly crucible, purified seven times. We need that refining. We need to be put into the crucible so that the dross, our sins, rise up and God can skim them off the top, making us more and more pure. So that we can be used as righteous tools. God will use you right where you are, right now, right today. God's desire is to advance us, to purify us, to make us more righteous. Will we ever reach that point where we're perfectly righteous? No. But it's still the place we strive to be. We'll never be able to do it on our own. Even with God's help, we're never going to be that 100% righteousness. Maybe when the last shofar calls, maybe, but I don't know if that's his plan either. So I went over 8 reasons for the shofar to be blown. They really come down to just 2. One's to move forward, whether it's in peace or war, and one's to move together and to assemble, to gather, to celebrate God. Both indicate unity. Unity with other people and unity with God. And either way, we see the Jewish people moved together. Either way, God is still with us, moving us together. It's only with unity that we accomplish anything of worthwhile. God is our protector. God is like a brother to us. He wants to join with us. He wants to correct us. He wants to shepherd us. He wants to be beside us. But he can't be with people while we're still in our sin. So he works us. He works us like a trumpet. He forms us so that our sound comes out the way he wants it to. He forms us so that the helping us with our thoughts, so that the sound that comes out has the meaning and the pitch that he wants it to. He prepares us not only for us to be the trumpet. He prepares us for that final shofar blast. Matthew 24, 30 and 31. When the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then I will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, the King James for verse 31 says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds. There will be a sound of a trumpet at our end times. It will be the call for all of us to be gathered. Now the Greek word for the sound is phona, and one of its meanings is voice or sound, something that goes out. And for trumpet, it's selpinks. And it is the idea of reverberation. Like our voice, we vibrates and then comes out our mouth. That trumpet is an instrument that you put breath into so sound comes out. God uses his prophets and now uses us as his instruments. He placed his breath, his Ruach HaKodesh, into us and expects us to have sound coming out. He didn't do it for nothing. He gives us the message he wants us to give to the world. There will be a final trumpet blast, and we'll all get caught up in the air with him. Those who are right with him will live for eternity in his presence. Those who are not right with him will live for all eternity as well, but outside his presence where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We all have family who currently are on the outs. Grieves our heart. Currently, we all have family, friends, neighbors who are on the outs. Grieves our hearts. So what do? We be the trumpet. We be the one who revibrates with sound that comes out. I don't know what to say. You don't have to know what to say. That's what the Ruach HaKodesh is for. Don't worry when you stand before judges and men on what to say. That's what Paul says. The Ruach HaKodesh is inside. He gives the message. It revibrates in our throats, comes out our mouth, and then it's up to the Ruach whether it falls on fertile hearts or stony hearts. But if we don't give out the message, we don't know what the heart is. Who are we to judge the heart? We just give it out as often as we can, as to many people as we can, and then it's up to the Ruach to lay it on a heart that's fertile. I heard someone say that it takes the average person to hear the gospel 17 and a half times before it hits fertile soil and starts to grow. I know in my case, it probably was more than the 17 and a half times. But they weren't all the same people. But if different people didn't come and keep going and keep going and keep going, I don't know where I would be today. I was never that bad of a person, but I certainly wasn't saved. And I certainly did not have the assurance that I have today. And it's true about the world today. So what do? We keep sowing. For some, it'll be sowing. For some, it'll be watering. For some, maybe they're in that position where they're going to reap. And they'll pray with the person. But we don't know where he is at that time, that person that we're speaking to. So continue to be that trumpet. Continue to speak the word. Continue to talk to people. Continue to give out books. Continue to be the instrument of God. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you've called us for a very particular purpose, to be your instrument. Ruach, we ask that you work us. Work us as fine silver. Work us to tune our voice so that it will be your words that come out. Work us so that we may have the courage to speak even in those times that we're afraid to open our mouth. Father, we just thank you that it's really up to you for salvation. But it's up to us to put the words out there. So we just ask that our words would be your words, that we would be your vessels. Pour into us so that we may pour out onto others. We thank you that you have given us this calling. We thank you that you stand beside us and your Ruach is within us, so that when we go out to do your will, we do not go out alone. We just ask that our words be productive and they never come back empty to you. We just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.